Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today on Through the Word, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Verse 1 kicks off and tells us, Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, "Keep all these commands that I give you today. When you have crossed the Jordan into the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And when you've crossed the Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal, as I command you today, and coat them with plaster. Build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. Do not use any iron tool on them. Build the altar of the Lord your God with field stones and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. Sacrifice fellowship offerings there, eating them and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord your God. And you shall write very clearly all the words of this law on these stones you have set up." How rad is that? Yeah, I still say rad. They were told to take large stones and build an altar on Mount Ebal. The altar was not meant to be shaped with human tools, and this would keep the altar from being anything like the one in the temple. Remember, there would be one place to worship God, and that would be later in Jerusalem. Therefore, God didn't want this to be a permanent place that the Israelites would return to and worship pagan gods on. The mountains, after all, were called high places, and it was usually where pagans set up altars to worship pagans. And in their primitive thinking, the higher up you were, the closer to heaven. And God was the God of everywhere, including the earth, the sea, and the sky, under the earth, everywhere. So the stones didn't have to be fancy. They could use the creation to worship him, but these stones weren't for worship. They were for a warning not to come back up here and worship. And for that reason, these stones had the commands etched on them with stone, written into them, "Do not commit idolatry. Do not worship foreign gods." It's kind of like that Surgeon General's warning on that pack of cigarettes telling you, hey, this stuff will kill you. And God was making no bones about the fact that this is a one-time use for these stones. Now, there were two mountains here. Mount Ebal was a twin to another mountain on the other side of the valley that the Israelites were about to march through on the other side of the Jordan River. When they entered the land, half of the Levites would be on top of Mount Ebal, shouting the curses of disobedience, while on the other mountain, the Levites would be shouting the blessings of obedience. How rad is that? Radder than the 80s when we still said rad. Now, smoke would be issuing from both mountains. Think of how cool or rad this picture is. Echoing in the ears of the Israelites would be the blessings, say in their right ears, and cursings in their left. The smoke billowing up from Mount Gerizim, where the Levites would be pronouncing the blessings, would flow up to heaven like a sacrifice, while the smoke billowing out of Mount Ebal would signify judgment if they brought the curses down upon themselves by worshiping other gods. At the end of this section, Moses gives his infamous tweetable quote, "Choose this day whom you will serve," and Joshua echoes it. The picture before them was a choice. Mount Ebal was largely barren and rocky because of how the sun hit it, while Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, was smooth because it was largely in the shade on the side facing the valley during the afternoon. So it had green grass often growing on it. And the sheep would actually go there and be grazed on that hill. The visual picture was stunning and stark in its contrast. If you choose the curse, you'd have a rocky and barren existence, whereas if you trusted God and opted to worship him, there'd be blessings, richness, fullness, refreshing. One more thing. As the people were marching forward through the valley, they were to respond to the priests, who scholars believe were taking turns shouting from each mountain. The people were to shout, "Amen," which was a way of giving verbal assent to the covenant. It was a way of signing verbally with your mouth, with your words, a verbal contract. And the people were saying, "We agree, we're good with these terms, we're in, all in." Here are some examples of what the priests would have been shouting to the people as they passed through the valley. Verse 14, The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, "Cursed is anyone who makes an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of skilled hands, and sets it up in secret." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Verse 16, "Cursed is anyone who dishonors their father or mother, as if." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who moves their neighbor's boundary stone." Boo. Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads the blind astray on the road." I mean, come on, really? And then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow." That's just mean. Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Obviously, by now, you know that I'm adding stuff in here. The response. But the response that the people were to have was just to say, "Amen, we agree, that's messed up, or that's really good." "Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Verse 21, "Cursed is anyone who has sexual relationships with any animal." I don't even know what to say there. But then all the people shall say, "Amen." Wait, what? Like, who wouldn't shout amen to that, right? Like, you know you've got something to worry about when the guy next to you looks down at this point and gets quiet. But here's another one. "Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his mother-in-law." Moses, "Hey, that's too far, man. That's just uncalled for." Then all the people shall say, "Amen, amen, amen. Moses, I said amen, amen." You know that when you start yelling that one a little too loudly, your wife's going to get mad at you. There are some others as well. But keep in mind that Moses wouldn't have had to mention them if these things weren't a problem. If they weren't a part of their society, remember, they had been freed from slavery, and some of these habits were a result of being in forced labor camps for years, for generations, where the strong took what they wanted, and the ghettos of Egypt were made into human cesspools of immorality. Moses rounds it off with this large curse that the Levites would yell, the final one, "Cursed is anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Read Deuteronomy chapter 27 today and see how much you agree with about the stuff that God says is messed up. And why don't you give it a hearty amen at the end of every verse?
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.